Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Poet Laureate Emeritus of Sacramento, Indigo Moore, has been living in Philadelphia this summer, watching protests there from his ninth floor apartment, watching the news of the protests from back here in California. He told us on Insight on June 3rd, which was when the most intense events downtown were settling after a few days. He said then that he thinks what's been happening since George Floyd's death is a revolution. He's just written a new piece posted on Literary Hub. It's titled A Letter to Sacramento, A Riotous Anodyne. And he's on the phone from Philadelphia. Hi, Indigo. Glad to have you back on Insight.
Good to be here, Beth.
Was there something specific that prompted this letter?
Well, it started as a request from John Freeman of Literary Hub, but like so many things that people write, especially people who've been writing for a while, the thought of writing such an essay or such a piece of prose had come much earlier, just thinking about things that have happened in my life that relate to what's going on. So I was prompted by the need from John Freeman to put these things on the site and my need to express something that had been on my mind 45 years.
Since growing up in North Carolina, I think,
yes.
Right?
Yes, Charlotte.
So the word anodyne, I understand that word to mean something like pain reliever. Is that how
yes.
you meant to use it?
Yes, as a salve, something to ease pain.
Early in the letter, you write to Sacramento, you are the third most diverse city in the country, and you should be proud of that. And it's clear that you really love Sacramento, but this is a complicated relationship. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd like you to read the second and third paragraphs of this letter.
Absolutely. And the letter is addressed to Sacramento as a whole. Let us be open and honest. After 23 years together, we owe that to each other. You have had your problems. Your skeletons refuse to stay hidden. With such a luscious landscape and rainbow kaleidoscope school pictures, it is easy to forget that some parts of your rainbow shine brighter. Some of the bends are thinner, more ethereal than they should be. No, I am not writing to kick you as you face another night of fire and anger. I love you. Even as you kneel on the edge of this precipice, wondering which way rolls you into oblivion. I can't promise you the morning will not bring more pain, craters in your beautiful skin. There are many folks ready for some things to burn, and they will not be stopped by public condemnation, the cries for peaceful protest. I know, none of this is your fault. But protesters and people of color have the same problem. How others treat them is not their fault.
So being in Philadelphia and having the experience of Sacramento, are the cities handling or navigating any of this that much differently? And I think you know the way I'm asking that question.
No, I think it's been very similar. And when you look at the different colors, the races, the ages of the people handling it, there has to be an understanding that something is broken. And it's not just the anger. It's not just the protest. This is something that's more intrinsic, something that's going across the country, that's going across the world. There have been demonstrations everywhere. But when you look at how it's being done in our cities, yes, it is not much different. And the differences or the lack of differences in there should be speaking to everyone.
So in the letter, you also write this, and you're discussing peaceful protests versus something different, more intense. And you write, Martin Luther King Jr. said, a riot is the voice of the unheard. And you say, I don't speak for everyone, nor do I want to do so. I'm only saying I have learned repeatedly that a gentle voice is easy to ignore. Are you in a place of some acceptance of how destructive and intense and loud, and I don't mean to use any negative terms, but just how big and beyond the word peaceful the protests and demonstrations have become?
Absolutely. And when you look at any conversation between two different parties, it's the same way. You take a spouse who's not being heard, no matter what they're saying over and over again, and the repercussions are usually not gentle. When someone's not heard, the outcome is regrettable. But it's not regrettable in what's happened. It's regrettable in that they were never listened to.
I sure have had that experience. I think every human being in whatever frame of life, if they're paying attention to that dialogue between their place on earth and who they are, I think everybody's had that experience. You wrote that even as a young person being bused to a white school, you were struggling with what was supposed to be relevant to you. Which part of all of what's happening right now is most relevant to you?
The relevance is, for me, is seeing people who don't look like me actually taking the steps to change what's going on. I told a good friend of mine a long time ago, right after the 2016 election, that this was less of a fight for African Americans and people of color as it is for white people. I said, you're not going to see what it's been like for African Americans to not be heard for so long. And I'm waiting to see, are you going to stand up and fight? Are you going to say, this is not the country I want? The relevance for me is being shown that maybe I was wrong. Maybe we're not the only people who are going to say, not just say, but stand up and fight for what we need to have, to what we need to have change in this country.
You're listening to Indigo Moore and his fourth book of poetry titled Everybody's Jonesin' for Something took second place in the University of Nebraska Press's Backwater Prize. It's going to be published in the spring of 2021. His stage-turned screenplay, Live at the Excelsior, was optioned as a full-length film. He sits on the advisory board for both the Modesto Stanislaus Poetry Center and the Sacramento Poetry Center. He's a 10-year veteran of the U.S. Navy, a twice-decorated Gulf War vet, and his time is divided between a lot of projects right now, a lot of writing, teaching, and the integrated circuit layout engineering that he does for computer companies. I actually don't know, Indigo, what has you in Philadelphia this summer, but that's sort of where your sheltering, your COVID sheltering is being done.
Yes, and I'm out here working. I'm an engineer. I'm a contract engineer. And from time to time, I have to travel.
So the bulk of this letter describes you as a young child, your experience on the farm. The language is so luscious and rich. And then being read a poem in school, and it flashed you back to those memories, to childhood things. When the teacher got done with reading the poem, you just started laughing out loud, which set off, apparently, a big debate about, wait a minute, how did you hear that poem compared to the bigger meaning that was in there? It is really worth a read. But the point being that we see and hear things in so many different ways. Are we ridiculous to think that we can really come together and row in the same direction?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm expected to understand that poem from a concept that I would never have thought to understand it from, because my experiences led me in a different direction. But that doesn't mean I'm not able to understand it from someone else's viewpoint. I think the problem is that we get so used to seeing things in one direction. If I walk into a room that's got 100 people in it and 80 of them are white, the 80 white people might think, well, this is a very diverse gathering, even though there's only 20 African Americans in there. But you change those positions, you make it 80 African Americans and 20 white people, and all of a sudden, well, this isn't normal. What we experience is our norm. From a young age, having no idea that it was happening, I was being told that, okay, you need to change your thinking of how the world works. I can understand that because this is a predominantly white country. But my question is there no room for any other way to look at things?
You referenced your daughter in our last conversation going to join protesters and to walk with a sign. Tell me about your conversations with her. How's she navigating this time, and how old is she?
She is 32, and she's navigating it much better than I would at her age. She has a very strong sense of who she is, a strong sense of welcoming to other cultures and other ways of experiencing this world, and yet still being who she is and fighting for who she is. I'm very proud of her.
Well, let's wrap this up, Indigo, with having you read the last paragraph of the letter. And again, we'll post a link so that you can find Indigo Moore's piece on Literary Hub. It's titled Letter to Sacramento, A Riotous Anodyne. And here's Indigo with the finale of the letter.
Outside my window, police helicopters are circling. Sirens ebbing and falling like waves, so many of them. Smoke rises around the corner of the building and sifts through my open window. Not close to me, but very present. Sacramento, love. Parts of you may burn over the next few days, but not because the people doing the protests, peaceful or riotous, are ugly. It doesn't matter if this country was designed with us in mind, if it was designed with our lives as an afterthought. They are like me, completely tired of hearing that their world is not the poetic one, sick of being told they are not the poems that need to be read. They are beautiful and refuse to be ignored. And we protest and we riot, and even if it is not material, a lot of old notions will burn. Stay strong, Sacramento. So much depends.
It's always wonderful to have you in conversation with us. Thank you for sharing your time and your writing, Indigo, and take care.
Thank you.
That's the award-winning writer, poet, educator, Indigo Moore. His new post on Literary Hub is Letter to Sacramento, A Riotous Anodyne, and his new book of poetry will come out in the spring. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. The Social Distant Theater is The Uplift. That's coming up next.